I'm Christian Scheller. Welcome to my podcast, an enthusiastic ramble through whatever has taken my interest the past week or so. Expect technology, games, history, travel, geekery, and as always, much, much more.
Welcome to a Chinchilla Squeaks, I don't know what I'm going to call these yet, Chinchilla Squeaks News? Chinchilla Squeaks, yeah, that'll do. It's been a little while in between a plethora of interview shows that I decided to get back my kind of interesting articles and news and things like that into the podcast too, and sort of relaunch the newsletter, the physical was not really physical, but you know what I mean, newsletter part of my podcast. But I decided to keep them separate. So I'm going to have an interview show every 2 weeks and a news and interesting resources every 2 weeks. So I wanted to get started with that again. Now we are nearly a quarter way through 2024 already. I am recording this on the road in a strange little Airbnb in Portugal. I'm about to go to a gaming convention and I'm using my new travel microphones that are ostensibly going to be used for recording interviews. I'll be at KubeCon in Paris next week. So I don't really know how they sound. There's actually some very noisy birds outside, so we'll see how it all goes. But I just wanted to get things started, even if this relaunch is not the best quality it could be. Let's at least get back to some quality content. Let's, of course, start with some AI articles and news. I have been digging a little deep into this recently as I am finishing... Well, I have finished, actually, a book on tech writing for a publisher, and there was an AI chapter, of course. So I was going through a bunch of backlogged options for testing, for trialing all of those things, and working towards some new content, some videos and some blogs I'll be putting out in the coming months, mostly around running your own LLMs and generative AI tools, I think. There's a lot of options for this, and I wanted to start looking into them. And this is actually an article from a couple of years ago, but it's being updated. This is on the Practical Dev, the Practical Developer, the rise of local LLMs. And it has quite a good roundup of options, especially Llama, which I think is probably the biggest and best known option. And that's one I will definitely be trying in the near future. I also like things. There's some really cool tools, and I have actually featured these in a video in the past. There is things like Mac Whisper, which runs Whisper locally, which is very good for audio transcription. And there's also ways you can run some of these, like Stable Diffusion in desktop tools and things like that. They can all run quite well. But then these, of course, let you tweak and configure things the way you want, you know, whether you want to have it running over your Obsidian Vault or something like this. It's interesting. I've noticed this is starting to creep into a lot more tools. Adobe has been pushing this very heavily. Of course, it's not your own LLM, but it's running on your content. And Acrobat now has this, so you can actually communicate with PDFs, which is interesting. I think this is where these tools will start pushing. But I digress. I was mostly looking at these ones you can actually run yourself. So Llama actually has a lot of models you can then pick, choose, configure, things like Gemma, things like Llama, however you want to pronounce it. And there's also lots of tools that let you install these locally and things like that. You have to be a little bit careful, of course, because they can be quite large. Even with a Mac Whisper, the smallest model is several gigabytes, so this can take up a lot of space if you're not careful, and it's still quite resource intensive, which is a whole other conversation, of course. The conversation around the environmental impact of all of this new LLM and generative AI technology is something that is being discussed, but largely ignored, unsurprisingly and unfortunately. But anyway, if you wanted to dive into it, I've been looking at a lot of kind of roundup articles, and I will definitely be creating some of my own in the very near future. But this one was quite good. So take a look yourself if you're looking for some places to jump off into the local LLM journey. In a similar vein, or not in a similar vein, but maybe if you wanted to dig beneath the surface vein, over on MIT Technology Review, LLMs, large language models, can do jaw-dropping things, but nobody knows exactly why. This is actually something I kind of discovered myself as I was writing this chapter for the book, in that the recent changes in the technology around LLMs is quite fascinating and, yes, quite jaw-dropping. But people are not really very clear on how it works and how it works so well with these changes, which is interesting, concerning. I don't really know the best way to describe the ways you should feel about that. It is concerning because we are dedicating, you know, so many resources and so much trust in these tools. And we already know there's concerns around that, this automation, this kind of almost living action that they can take on decision-making and things like that. And if we don't even really know how they're coming to these decisions fundamentally at the core, that's also very concerning in itself, it's also very concerning that behind the scenes, we don't really know what's happening. And I don't really want to get into science fiction territory here, but what could it mean in the future? What could happen? And one of the biggest surprises and concerns that the researchers that are being interviewed in this article around, they can learn to do things, which is precisely the point, that they have not been shown to do. And it's funny to read that, because that's precisely why we use them, precisely why we are finding them so useful at the moment, this generative ability, this ability to learn from what you train it, and then it does things. So to then be surprised that they do that is surprising in itself, if you forgive the too many surprises. You know, we built them to work this way, and then we're surprised that they do. I guess it's because we are surprised that they do because we don't understand how. And I guess this is always the problem. It's the if you want to look towards science fiction, it's that ability to unplug the machine, as it were, when it takes over too much. And how can we unplug these devices, these models, these machines, these tools, if we don't really know how to unplug them, I suppose, if you forgive the interesting analogy there. And sort of leading on from this is something from the IEEE Spectrum magazine. When a lot of these models appeared, when a lot of these generative AI tools appeared, there was a lot of concern around, you know, loss of jobs, loss of roles, loss of expertise, things like that. And I think a lot of hope was put into, well, we can all become prompt engineers. And this has rapidly become actually an unviable role. There haven't really, and I think I covered this in a previous episode some time ago, there hasn't really been that many jobs in this space. And if they are, they're just part of other jobs. And already it's actually being shown, which is what this article covers, that letting the tools generate the prompts themselves is actually better, because they kind of know how they want the information, I guess. And there's actually a really interesting example here. Let me find it. Yeah. So it actually found that one tool preferred to have prompts in the style of like a Star Trek computer command, you know, when they would say computer, blah, 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 blah. And it actually found that calculating complex math problems, it responded better if you spoke to it like that, which is weird. And I can't imagine a human trying that unless it was kind of as for a joke. You know, you wouldn't necessarily actually think to talk to a model, talk to a tool like that, because it sounds and feels kind of stupid. So, yeah, already coupled with the last article around we don't really know how these work, it's showing that this is so much of an issue that we're even not the best, say, people to prompt them in the first place. So this is going to become a self-fulfilling problem, in that we don't really take much part in the input, a very light action on the input. They then kind of go off and do their thing, and we don't really understand how, and we don't really understand why the input we gave was best in a particular way. Yeah. Fun times. It's very interesting time to be doing a tech podcast, a tech newsletter, a tech YouTube channel, because there's so many things. And if you worry that, well, what are you going to do instead? There is an emerging job that might be there for you, which is LLM ops instead, which actually, it's almost like I planned it this way, connects back to what I was saying earlier about these tools that let you run your own models. So this is probably the best way to retain a little modicum of control, to retain a modicum of understanding about how they're working. So LLM ops, I think we're going to need a better acronym for that. That's a bit of a mouthful, but there we go. And related to this, I have mentioned books from Manning authors several times, and this is actually a book they currently have in their early access program, and I will share a link in the text version of this and in the description. This is actually Build a Website with ChatGPT from Paul McFedris, I think. And now, in addition to the birds, there's police sirens behind me, which is quite surprising. So anyway, Build a Website with ChatGPT. It should be published in summer of 2024, but you can currently get the early access program, where you basically get each chapter as it comes. And I'm interested to see the depth that goes to. So at the moment, it's basically using prompts to generate the code around it, but also the images, and then getting the responsiveness, and I guess doing a lot of that tedious work. But I must admit, I wonder how you would write an entire book on this subject. That's kind of what I'm interested to see what Paul does. But if that interests you, take a look. And that was actually just the publisher asking me to mention it. No sponsorship there. Very awkward transition here, because now actually a few words from sponsors.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Now a little bit of a thread on, I guess, audio, video, music, plus something else. I am working on some content for WASM, actually, and I had the privilege of speaking to Anil Dash, who is fairly well known in the tech space for a bunch of different projects. He's currently at Fastly. He was running Glitch, and Glitch was acquired by Fastly, and he gave me some really interesting resources on WASM I will be following up with. But whilst I was sort of just looking around what I was going to talk to him about, I found this post on his blog. Wherever you get your podcast is a radical statement. This is something we all say as podcasters, and I will say it myself all the time. And he says it's a radical statement because this is actually one of the beautiful things about podcasts and why they remain popular, and why many efforts of companies, and Spotify is currently struggling through this process itself, but also Apple is doing this, but Apple has more money to burn, is that podcasts, the underlying technology behind podcasts, which is an RSS feed that just forwards to media instead of to links, is wonderfully open, liberal, and free. And the fact that you can just publish a podcast wherever you want is a radical statement. And I think it's worth reminding ourselves sometimes, because not many things are like that anymore. You know, you have to go to YouTube to watch a YouTube video, and you can also watch podcasts, which is weird, but there you go, on YouTube. If you want to listen to music, you have to go to particular streaming services, but a podcast can actually be distributed however you want. And whether people decide to only distribute it through Spotify or through Apple or whatever is up to them, but that is up to them, unless you're a very large podcast and assigned some kind of exclusivity deal, but that's a different conversation. So I found it interesting, an interesting reminder of the technology, an interesting reminder in 2024 of this, I would say, nearly 30-year-old, if not more, technology, and how it's still being used and just bolted onto through various platforms. And the advertising I just had is one such example of that. It's an addition on top of the standard that a platform adds for me. So coming into music a little bit, I have slowly been learning Ableton. Ableton is a Berlin company, actually, where I am normally based. And they just released version 12. They don't actually release major updates that often. I think this is about 2 years. They're coming out of their sort of post-COVID bubble when a lot of people were buying licenses and then stopped renewing them. And they had a little bit of sort of trouble to figure out and prioritize what they're going to do next. They released a Push 3, which is hardware, which is a big investment. And now finally they have released version 12. And they always have very generous upgrade piles. I did upgrade my version 11 to 12. And have been experimenting with it, but I have not got very deep into some of the new features. I've been told by many people the new MIDI tools are excellent. I haven't really had an opportunity to figure out quite what they mean, but this is an article from Music Radar that digs into a lot of those details. They did actually change a lot of the visual interface. I've always found Ableton to be, it's quite a cluttered interface. So you do need to tweak it a bit to make it visible, especially for old eyes. And I have found that it's a lot crisper. And they have changed a few things with the UI that some people do and don't like. But I actually found it much easier to take in, which was good. It's added new features around searching for instruments, etc. The generative MIDI tools, I have tried a few generative MIDI separate tools. There was actually a plugin I tried on my YouTube channel at some point. But now there's a bunch built in. This is definitely something I'm going to experiment with in the near future. And again, I think this reflects back to, you know, an example of what Adobe is doing as well, by the best places for many of these generative tools is in existing tools, really, where it's really part of your workflow. It also adds a lot of interesting features around non-Western scales and tunings. This is something I have found increasingly interesting, but actually from a slightly different perspective, that I've been teaching drums recently, and I very much teach kind of Western drums, and we have some teachers and some students who are not from Western countries, and hearing some of the techniques and rhythms that they use in their drumming is fascinating, and has got me very interested in like Arabic and Indian scales, which are around quarter notes. So I look forward to also maybe experimenting with those in Ableton. And then a lot more, lots of plugins, lots of synths, which is what people really love about Ableton. But have a look at that list, and there's some really good videos on the Ableton website as well, and I will definitely be digging into those, maybe in some videos or some other content over the coming months, pushing things even further into the future. This was a wonderful article from scifiinterfaces.com about lessons in instrument design, musical instrument design from Star Trek, and how many of them actually kind of have become real devices and that kind of thing. And I love stuff like this. This is actually one of my favorite blogs. It's from the authors of a book I'm also a big fan of, which is about 10, 15 years old now, I think, called Make It So, about the inspiration between sci-fi and reality on interface design. And this is specifically looking at musical instruments and the people who've tried to recreate some of them, which yeah, I love. And the fact that they can be created, some of them, is quite amazing in itself. All right, then, that was my little news and links roundup for this Chinchillisk Week's episode. As I say, I'll be at KubeCon in Paris next week. If you're around, my calendar is filling up, but I'm always happy to try and find more people if you have time and I have time. And if you don't want to do an interview or anything, just grab a drink, grab a vin rouge, because it was in Paris. That was French. Anyway, and after that, I think I'll be sitting still for a little bit, but be putting out a lot more new videos coming up. On my YouTube channel, I did just put the video interview version, and there will be an audio-only version coming out in a few months of an interview with Ruin from Fiera, which is actually a really cool browser-based game development engine. That was an interesting interview. I have a video on a word counter and also a little profile of a new tool that's in beta, called ADOC Studio, which is for working with ASCII-DOC in a Mac and iPad app. So have a look at all of those. I'll be back next week with a new interview, and I will speak to you again in 2 weeks for a news show, where hopefully I will be kind of in my more normal setup, but you got to restart sometimes. And even if you're not in optimal surroundings, you just got to get on with it. I have been Christian Schiller. Thank you very much for joining me, and I'll talk to you all next time.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Find out more about me at chrischinchilla.com, where you can find show notes, sign up for my newsletter, and find all of my writing, games, work, and video links. There's also details on how to get in touch with me. And if you want to get even closer to what I do, join my Discord server for behind-the-scenes discussions and helping me produce my shows and work.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.